there was also so much is happening every day of the week in the life of this church. Kids church leaders, those who come in here and clean and do the maintenance on our building, those who make phone calls to newcomers, those who make cakes, those who just come in and just say, I'm prepared to serve. In Matthew 25, there's the parable of the talents. And if you know about the parable of the talents, it's where the master gives 5 talents and then 2 talents and then 1 talent. And as we go through these talents, I was reading this morning. I got up early this morning and I was just thinking to myself, it's regardless of what we have in our hand, regardless of the gifts and talents God's given us. For some people, He's given the muscles and the strength to do yesterday. I don't feel sore at all. I didn't lift a thing. For some of us, He gives the ability to go shopping and make sure we've got beautiful gift packs for others. For some, He gives the ability just to pray over those rooms of those young kids who are struggling. For some, He gives a gift of just going along and messing around, having some fun with people. God has given us gifts and talents. And at the end of this parable, the master comes back and he says, when they've used their gifts and talents, he says, we will celebrate. We will celebrate, church. What we did yesterday is that there were seeds were sown in this community. Seeds were sown right across this community, in boys' homes, in girls' homes, with people who have had a bit of a tougher life. There's going to be blood donated. There is serving happening all the time. And I believe that God is saying, thank you, church. But what He is also saying is, do you know what? The seeds are being sown and there is a harvest that is going to be reaped. Who's believing that there is a harvest that is going to be reaped across this city? There is going to be a harvest that's going to be reaped because there was an attitude that changed in people's hearts to say, we can serve. We can give a little bit of ourselves. We can give our Saturday morning up. We can take our talents and our wheelbarrow and we can help others because God will reap the harvest. And I pray that out of something like yesterday, that every church across this city is full. I pray that there is transformations happening in people's lives. I pray that there is salvations happening. I pray that there is soul winning going on right now. That God has taken the little bit that we were able to do and there is soul winning happening. I'm believing that there is miracles occurring. Church, I believe that there is miracles occurring.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God.
Was yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you are working in the hearts of people in this city. We thank you for what is to come. God, just let us be just that little part of that. Use us, Heavenly Father, we pray. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Take a seat. Take a seat. Thank you, beautiful team. If I'm going to stay with the new generation, I had a hashtag proud pastor moment yesterday. It was incredible. And I salute a church that stood up and said, we're going to get into the community. But what I salute about it is that there was no guts and glory about it. There was a whole lot of just honouring Jesus Christ in what we did. And so thank you, church, for what we did. I've got to tell you too, we went to a national conference about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and all these, you know, fancy pants churches on the mainland and stuff like this were, you know, putting up their videos of what they do and stuff like that. Let me tell you, do not underestimate what this church is doing. So I've tasked Stewie that he's got, you know, about 11 months now to get a cracking video ready, because we're going to be showing that at national conference. What do you reckon? Yeah. What a little church down the bottom of this place near Antarctica can do in our community. And what I want to be able to talk about if we get it up there, Pastor Ken will help me with this. He'll go to bat for us with this, because what I'm going to talk about is what I want to see, and we've got 11 months away, is see the fruit of what happened. Imagine in 11 months' time, we're talking about the fruit of what happened, where some of these teenage mums whose life has been rubbish of all of a sudden are sitting in our church and their kids are in our playgroup and they're praising God. What about the boys who have had drug addictions and struggles and they've broken down in what they've done, if they're sitting in the rows here with... Where's Roachy here today? Roachy's here today. Roachy brings 2 or 3 along. Mate, I want to see rows full of people that you bring along, brother. Because next national conference, we want to talk about, we're going to show a video and then we're going to talk about the fruit of what God is doing in this place through a heart that serves. Today, can we even go into a new topic? We need to go into a new topic. Today, we're talking about the F word. The F word. I'll keep preaching in case you guys go anywhere else with this one. The F word. And today, I've entitled my message, the ABC of the F word. I want to start with saying to you that I was raised in a working class Western suburbs of Melbourne. My school was representative of the area, which was a mix of working class kids, kids from single parent families, kids who had no parents at all, and a few kids who came from the other side of the highway who were the white collar, the, you know, the to-do type kids. It was a pretty working class Western suburbs, Melbourne school. Anyone here from the Western suburbs of Melbourne? Go the doggies. You'll understand what I'm talking about, a Western suburbs school. There was this thing in my school there. At the end of each year, they called the Freedom Ceremony. And I didn't know what this was when I was a young kid getting beaten up or beating others up in school. But I started to understand as you got to the end of your school what this Freedom Ceremony was. And it had a number of components. But one of these things, a freedom ceremony, was that anybody who was dropping out of school or finishing year 12, which was not many, but there was a lot more dropping out of school, kids stay in school. That they had this, what was called this freedom ceremony. And this constituted in the burning of their school books, their jumpers, their lunchbox. Anything that represented the school used to go into this incinerator. So next door to us, we had this, it was like an old community hall type thing. And at the back, they had those old incinerators. And at the end of every year, there was a freedom ceremony. And the teachers all knew about it because they saw this black smoke coming out of it as all of these kids were throwing everything that represented their life that they felt was captivity in school into this incinerator. As a school kid, this was my understanding of freedom. Fast forward a few years down the track when, as a young, naive paramedic, I, along with my partner, were deployed into the holiday township of Sussex Inlet on the south coast of New South Wales. Fires were raging down the east coast, and Sussex Inlet, for those who know it, has one road in and one road out. It's a tourist-type place. This was New Year's Day when we went in there, so it was packed with tourists. There was about 5,000 in there. And as was expected, it was cut off by the fires. So there was myself and one other paramedic in there with about 5,000 very anxious people, a bit of an elderly community in there as well. So there's medical needs, a very anxious community because there's fires raging and they've just been cut off. And I'm a young paramedic who probably was dumb and stupid. And I also had a 2-month-old baby at home. I felt trapped. I felt incredibly trapped. 3 days I was in there. There was no communication. There was a lot of aerial bombing going on. But they decided in their wisdom to leave us in there because we were the only medical help in there. 3 days later, I drove out, and I remember at that time very succinctly in my mind this sense of freedom. It was probably the second time I've really felt freedom in my life after burning my books. Again, fast forward, I still owe my mum for that. Again, fast forward a good decade. And in early 2011, I spent a very brief time on behalf of the Qatari government helping the people of Libya. Civil unrest was raging in the country again. And the country was basically in civil war. In the space of 3 hours, I had to assemble a small medic team that would be deployed into Benghazi with the sole purpose of securing freedom for a number of high-profile people who had been injured and shot. As we came closer to the city of Benghazi, I'm looking out the window and you could see the physical devastation of what civil war or what war can do. For me, it was the first time I'd ever seen this in its truest form. But it was when I landed and then was transported to, I don't know what you'd call a bunker-type area, did I truly start to understand the lack of freedom for these people. The next few hours were a complete blur, but I distinctly remember the third time in my life when I felt a sense of freedom. And that was touching down in an airstrip in Crete. And after handing over the patient, I had this incredible adrenaline dump. And I remember standing on this airstrip, and I just looked in the sky, and I felt this freedom that I had been released. And they were the three times over different parts of my life where I can specifically say that I felt this incredible freedom come across me. All different circumstances, all different ages of my life, all different understanding. And for me, it was freedom. And as a leadership, we've prayed long and hard about this. And as a communicators team, we get together and we pray long and hard about this. And I want to be sensitive to the understanding that freedom is very subjective for people. Freedom can be based upon your experiences as well. And for many here today, even depending on your cultural upbringing, your social situation, your family life, the thoughts of freedom may not conjure up the same things that I'm thinking of, and we're very sensitive to that as well. But with a heart of humility and a whole lot of faith, we're believing that over this next series, this next 3 or 4 weeks, we're believing in a God who is the God of miracles. And as we prayed about this as communicators and in our SLT and in some of the meetings we had, we were just going, you know what, yeah, but we believe in a God who is greater than any of this, than any of our situations, than any of the situations we deem as whether it's burning of books or the situations you may be in. We believe in a God who is the God of miracles. We believe in the God, the one that we call Lord, the one we call Yahweh, the one we call our Redeemer, the one who is called Jehovah Jireh, our Provider. We're believing that during this time that we have the faith that we're going to see a church, as we've seen a church move with this cultural heart of serving others, that we are going to see this heart come here where we move from fear to faith, from darkness to light, from sorrow to joy, from death to life, from bondage to freedom. So Heavenly Father, we just pray right now at the start of this series, as we set up this series, Heavenly Father, we pray that your touching hand is right across this place in every red chair. God, in every person that calls this place home, that every person that is going to call this place home, Heavenly Father, we pray that your touching hand is upon people's lives right now. Amen. Amen. If you're taking notes, I'm just going to use 3 quick points this morning. A, the ABC of the F word. A is for acceptance. You want to roll that video? Thanks, Aiden.
Cold.
Ooh, and there's people depending on you.
Soldier on, soldier on, soldier on with cargo. Soldier on, soldier on, soldier on with cargo. Soldier on, soldier on, you know you're winning the fight when things are going right. Soldier on with cargo, soldier on, soldier on.
Anyone under the age of 30 has got no idea what that ad is, have they? Stewie's looking at me going, what is that? I have no idea. That was TV back in 1986, for anyone who didn't realise. We did have TV back then. We did have electricity. Yeah, I had to put some colour to it. It was black and white for most people. Who knows that as a people, though, we have this tendency to run on one cylinder. We have this tendency in our lives to get from A to B. We have this tendency to go, I've just got to get up and get through the day again. I've just got to get through the next meeting. I've just got to come to LCN tonight and just deal with it. And we tick a box and we go from A to B. I've just got to go to the family dinner today. Often it can be in our workplaces. We're performing and we may be performing very well, but our relationship at home is poor. Maybe we're doing multi-million dollar deals in our workplace, but inside we're full of pride. Maybe we're keeping up appearances in whatever we're doing, but inside of us, we've got these things that have been bandaged up and they might be called lust, anger. Maybe they're called envy. Maybe they're addictions. Maybe it's lying in a deceitful spirit. Whatever it may be, we become so good as a community of just soldiering on in what we need to do. We accept the fact that these things are inside of us and we're happy because we're just soldiering on. It's like this, is we must keep going. And so we'll pop the pills. Codral is a cold and flu tablet for those who don't know. And we'll pop the pills to get through. In the Psalms, King David reminds us that God is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful and everywhere. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceived my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, know it completely." One of my heroes of the faith, Bill Hybels, says this, "The biggest danger the Western Christian world faces is that we become complacent in our faith, we become complacent in our environment, and we accept the shackles and the chains that hold us in bondage. And as a result, our faith dies as we sleep." These are kind of a little bit hard. The first one is the hardest one. Acceptance is the hardest one. Because some of this stuff, we sit there and go, "Oh, don't talk to me about this. Church is all about the preacher getting up and talking about hope and all of these good things." But that's the whole point about it. In order to gain freedom, the first thing we need to do is have acceptance. Because sometimes in order to fix the problem, you have to remove the bandage, expose the sore, shine a light on the issue, and accept that Jesus Christ can work a miracle in your life as well. Do you get that, church? In order to gain the freedom, in order to get to the F word, we can't just get there. We have to accept the fact that, you know what? There's some things happening in us that maybe we need to be able to bring to the fore. Men, we're not real good at this. Hey? Men, are you listening to me? We're not real good at this. Because we will soldier on and get to work and we'll bring home the dollars and we will do things and we'll go out and mow the lawn and all this sort of stuff. And inside of us, we've got these things that are breaking down with us. It might be a relationship with our father. It might be a relationship with whatever it might be. It might be issues in our life. And men, we will just soldier on because that's what we've been told to do. I want to encourage you, men, is to get around other men. Find the mentors, find the people in your life who you know are going to speak into your life. I've got some people, even this church, I know that I can go to and they will just pull me up and say, "Hey, how are you going with this?" It's actually okay to do that. Women, I was so encouraged to see 40 or 50 of you on Friday night fellowshipping and worshipping together. Women do that well. But I encourage you also in whatever ways that you have is to sometimes take off that cloak, take off that bandage and say, "Do you know what? I've got this issue. I'd love you to pray with me. I'd love you to watch over me. I'd love you to help me." I'm not saying that you have to fix it, but sometimes just having somebody to help you with that, to know that somebody's praying for you. A is for acceptance. You with me, church? A is for acceptance. If we're going to get to the F word, we've got to accept the fact that sometimes there's parts in us that need looking at. B is for boldness. In an address to the church at Ephesus, Paul reminds them to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. To be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Who are we being strong in? So not in us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on a few pieces of God's armor. The ones that you're comfortable in doing. Yeah? Put on a few pieces of God's armor. It says put on all of God's armor. Yeah, but I read a chapter this morning. That was okay. I haven't prayed in 4 weeks. I haven't put on the rest of the armor, but I put on a little piece. It says, put on all of God's armor in order that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Put on all of the armor so that you can stand tall, church. Let's not kid ourselves. We hate when the preacher does this, but let's not kid ourselves. We are in a spiritual battle. There is a devil out there that does not like what we did as a church yesterday. You hearing me? There is a devil out there that does not like, Cal's probably gone out to kids' church because she serves in there as well, does not like that this diminutive young girl gets up and with a boldness preaches the word of God to 50 women. So yesterday I just said, Cal, all I'm going to do is just pray for you, for protection for you and your family. Because we don't like to. We like to hide away from the fact that the devil's involved in any of this. Because do you know what? What we did yesterday is we kicked some serious dirt in his face. And I had dirt down my boots and thanks Timmy and all of these things. But we kicked some serious dirt in his face. So we need to be bold and we need to put on all of the God's armor. Paul went on to say, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rules and the authority of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's dark, it's there, but it's there, it's in the word. And then Paul says, right at the end of this, he says, therefore be bold. Therefore be bold. Put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the giants that may be in front of you. Be bold. When you have an acceptance and shine a light on the areas weighing you down, you need to be prepared to be bold to put on the armor of God. So if you're going to take off the bandage, you're going to have to be prepared to know that it's going to look pretty ordinary. People are going to look at it and you're going to need to put on the armor of God to get through this. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you can, to the Gospel of Mark 5. There's a very cool passage I love in this one. Mark chapter 5. The reason I love this passage is because obviously I've been in the medical profession for nearly 20 years and spent some time in the Middle East. So this just relates to me, this passage. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It'll come up on the screens as well. We're going to read from verse 21. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. As he went, they crowded around him. Verse 25, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years. Say 12 years. I'm not talking about a man flu for 2 days here. This lady had been suffering for 12 years. That is a long time. I was sharing with Pastor Ken yesterday that last year our youngest was unwell for 11 weeks and it felt like an eternity. It felt like an eternity. This lady had suffered for 12 years. Verse 26, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she'd got worse. Verse 27, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Let's put this in the terms that we can understand this. Jairus was the leader of the local synagogue in what was a Jewish town. So therefore, this guy probably had a little bit of street cred out there. You know, he's running the show. He's running the church here type thing. He's making sure the seats are out and all these sort of things. He's going to have some sort of street cred out there. And he comes and he kneels before Jesus and he pleads and he says, come and help my daughter who is dying. Jesus and Jairus are making their way towards a house. And the crowd is heaving around them. If you read some of the other translations and some of the other passages, so the book of Matthew and also Luke use this passage as well. The crowd is heaving around Jesus. I think it's in Luke where it says that the crowd nearly crushed him. This is a big crowd. They're following to see what this one, that the one they called Messiah, what's he going to do? So he's walking towards Jairus' house. The crowd is heaving. It would have been virtually impossible to get into this person in the middle, Jesus, who was in the middle. But a dirty, poor, says she'd lost everything, poor, unhealthy, she'd been sick for 12 years, ceremonially unclean. The disease she had or the sickness she had meant she was ceremonially unclean. She was probably a little bit ostracized from society because of this. And also, in the times, in the place, she was a woman. So this probably frail person sees this glimmer of hope. And so with everything she has, she pushes through this heaving crowd to touch just the outer garment, the hem of the outer garment of Jesus. That's a boldness. She accepted the fact that she was unwell. She probably had had enough, 12 years of this. But as a woman, she has gone through the crowd. As she's touching him, they're probably going, man, you're making me ceremonially unclean. And she has reached out just to touch the hem of Jesus. Sometimes we might label it as desperation. We like to label that as desperation. But isn't it in our own lives that sometimes when we're in that desperation state is when we turn to God? When things are going okay, God's put on the back burner. Yeah, God, you're there. I'm okay with that. But it's when we get to the desperation stakes as we start praying. We start going, God, where are you? Well, I was here every other time. I was here every other day. You just didn't need me on those days, but you need me today. In an act of boldness, this lady has reached out to do what the curious crowd around her couldn't do. But with the act of boldness, can I grab the music team? With the act of boldness, she first had to accept. Second, she had to be bold. And the C is she had to have the courage to act. Archbishop Charles Caput says that faith and freedom are inextricably linked. He says human dignity has only one source and only one guarantee. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and if there is no God, then human dignity is just elegant words. We need to remember two simple facts. In practice, no law and no constitution can protect religious freedom unless people actually believe and live their faith. Not just at home or in church, but in their public lives. He goes on to say, and he says, but it is also true that no one can finally take our freedom unless we give it away. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. He also says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for people who want to be free. Free in the truest sense. To accept that we need help, we need the boldness to step forward through the crowd. And then we need to take the courage to follow through. When you have the boldness to invite somebody to a women's night on a Friday night, when you have the boldness to text somebody and say, hey, come to church on Sunday or come to youth group, sometimes it's waiting that next step and taking the C and saying, do you know what? Have the courage to actually go, I'm going to go and pick you up. I won't just meet you there. I'm going to actually have the courage to take that next step. Verse 29 to 34 of this same passage says this. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman trembled at the realization of what had happened to her. She came and she fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. Verse 34, and Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Sometimes we have to come in fear. Sometimes we have to come with the understanding that taking off the bandage is going to expose us. Sometimes coming to a friend and saying, hey, I need you to pray for me over this part of my life. is going to shine a light on the thing that you've been trying to hide the whole way along. But sometimes in order to come in fear for Jesus to recognize our faith in order to receive our freedom. Do you get that, church? Sometimes we have to come in fear for Jesus to recognize our faith in order to receive our freedom. During this month, we are praying to see shackles released. This morning, we just want to start and set up a series on freedom. And as we did with But to Serve, and as we did with our Beyond Sunday series, we don't want this to be a 30-minute preach from the pulpit. We want this to be a change in our heart. We want this to be something whereby, as a church, we move forward together in this. And that's going to take men getting together in connect groups and sharing their story and asking for prayer. That's going to take the boldness of women to seek out each other. That's going to take some courage of our youth to get around other youth and invite them. That's going to take a church congregation to stand beside each other. That's going to take an understanding that every person in these red chairs is loved. That's going to take the understanding and the boldness to say that for every person we helped yesterday, we pray and hope that they're in church, that they're hearing the word of God, that they get connected, that the seed sown will mean something in their life. I'm going to ask you to stand. The book of Matthew records that Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes the boldness comes in laying down the things that we were never meant to carry. Sometimes the boldness comes in putting away the burdens that we carry for others, for our family, for ourselves. Sometimes it's about putting down those burdens and giving it all to God. We're going to finish by singing the song Miracles, because we are praying as a church that there is going to be miracles happen. We're going to go into a season of miracles. At the end of the month, Alicia's going to preach a couple of times on some of the personal freedoms in our life. But we've got to prepare our hearts for this. We've got to prepare our hearts today to say, do you know what? God, from this point forward, I move forward with you as the center of my life. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes just for a moment. If there's anybody here today that feels that they're carrying the burden, if anybody here today feels like that they're carrying the burden of their life and that they haven't yet given it over to Christ, just right now, while all eyes are closed, right across this auditorium, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. You may have done it before. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. Thank you. I can see the hand there. Is there anyone else? Right across this auditorium. There may be a time where you once said, "Yes, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life," but you've just soldiered on the whole way through. You've carried your burdens. You've carried all of this for you. And you just need to release and say, "Jesus Christ, I give it over to you." Who else wants to put up their hand? Thank you. I can see that hand. Fantastic. We celebrate with this. We celebrate with this. We're going to sing this song, Miracles. I'm going to ask those couple of people to come forward because I'm going to pray with them. And as we sing this song, I'm going to encourage you, as we step forward into this month, that we remember that we are a church that is serving. We remember that we are a church that goes beyond Sunday. But we sometimes need to be able to accept and open up and take off the bandage and say, "Hey, you know what? There's areas inside of me that I need to give over as well. There's times when I need to get on my knees before God and say, do you know what? Heavenly Father, help me with these areas." There's an acceptance, a boldness, and a courage. And with that, there'll be a freedom. pray for those two. If they'd be bold enough to come forward. Thanks, Stephen.